More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, parenting with grace. Parenting is hard work, and sometimes it can feel impossible. We'll give you the tools you need to be an even more confident, effective parent. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about parenting, on our show titled Parenting with Grace. The fact is, parenting is hard work. I don't think that's a news flash for anybody out there.
Did you wake up this morning? I think you probably know. If you're a parent, you know it.
Yeah, and sometimes it feels impossible, but the good news is it doesn't have to be as hard as we sometimes make it. So we're going to give you the tools you need to be an even more effective, confident Catholic mom or dad. Give us a call with your questions, 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I will add, not just a confident Catholic mom or dad, but also a confident Catholic grandparent, because grandparents are back involved in kids' lives in ways they never have been before. Some of you are helping raise the kids. Some of you are at every single practice, rehearsal, whatever it is, and some of you are very far away and still trying to stay connected. So we're adding you in there, because it's a whole new show.
Yeah, and as Catholics, we know that you are a parent forever in the line of Melchizedek.
Right?
Yes.
It's true for the priesthood.
Inside,
it's true for parenting.
It's a Catholic nerd joke. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Tell us, is something making it hard for you to be the parent that you want to be? Maybe you're feeling frustrated by your kids' behavior, or you and your spouse are on different pages about discipline. Maybe you just wish your family felt closer, but between work and school and activities and screens, you feel like you're fighting an uphill battle to connect. Whatever the challenges are that you're facing, we want to help you get the tools you need to be the parent God is calling you to be. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. By the way, the title of the show, of course, Parenting with Grace, taken from our two parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Big news, they are both now on Audible.
They are, finally.
After years and years of people asking us to do audiobooks, we have finally been able to make it happen. So we are thrilled and grateful to OSV and making it available to all of you for listening. Your listening,
listening pleasure.
Come on,
it's about time. But also, thank God, right? Because I know, as a busy mom, if I can't put my AirPod in one ear while I'm taking care of the kids with the other ear and listen to things that support me as a parent, because who in the world can stay awake when you, if you can find that 2 seconds in the day when you can sit down to read? So here it is. You're able to do all the learning you want to do with Parenting with Grace and your kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. You can get both if you have them all.
Now
and just
on
listen on Audible.
Audible.
Very
Check it
exciting.
Out. Of course, you can just call us right now at 877-573-7825 and get the inside track on the parenting advice you need to be that confident, effective, grace-filled parent that you want to be and that God is calling us all to be. Let's talk it out together. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, you might be wondering, how could some theology help me be a better parent? Well, turns out it can help a lot, especially if it's the theology of the body.
That's right.
Because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we take everything God's given us, you know, scripture, salvation, history, creation, in all of it. What universal principles could we discern about living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And interestingly enough, the theology of the body reminds us that parenting is a ministry. The church calls families to be schools of love and virtue because every interaction between parents and kids forms souls to love God and to be a force for goodness in the world. When we see that way, that daily grind stops being about survival and becomes a sacred calling.
And that vision, I think, is what gives us parents the meaning that we need to push through the hard days, right? Without this mission, I think parenting gets reduced to just correcting behavior, managing crises, and handling a never-ending list of tasks. But when we understand that our family is a domestic church, we can start to see every bedtime routine, every conversation at dinner, every moment of correction as part of a larger mission. You're not just keeping kids in line, you're cooperating with God's grace to raise human beings who know how to love well.
And the beautiful thing is, God didn't leave us to figure it out all alone. He gave us the liturgy of domestic church life, hardwired into his design of the family at the beginning of time, to give us a simple framework for happy, holy families. By prioritizing relationship and intimacy over busyness and activity, creating daily rituals for working and talking and playing and praying together to form Christian worldview in our family, and a look for opportunities to serve each other at home and in the community, we are creating families where the faith is the source of the warmth in our homes.
So, contrary to how you might feel about it, you aren't being selfish by putting in the time and energy that it takes to build a strong family life. You're firing the strong bricks that God wants to use to build his kingdom and bring the world to him through our witness of love and the faithful perseverance of his will through difficult times.
And I want to just add, you know, I was talking about how doing all this helps to form souls for Christ. We're not just talking about the kids here. When we love each other in this way, when we have these kinds of family rituals that truly bring warmth into our home because of our faith, it's forming our souls as well. And not just through pain and purification of suffering. It's about really learning how to love and be loved. So it's a win-win all the way around for
Amen.
Everyone in the family.
Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, is there something that's making it hard for you to be the parent that you'd like to be? You know, you love your kids, but maybe they're getting under your skin these days. You know, they're just doing that thing that you've tried to address like 10,000 times and it's not getting any better. You know what to do except throw your hands up in the air. Well, don't do that. Give us a call. Take your phone, put it in your hands, and dial us, 877-573-7825. Maybe it's you and your spouse on different pages about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just, you know, everything's okay, but you just wish you felt a little closer, more connected. Maybe you're looking for ways to live your faith at home. Whatever it is, we want to help you parent with grace today on More to Life. And again, the number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring you our families, particularly our children, and we ask you to give us the guidance that we need to create families where the faith is the source of the warmth in our homes. Families that are truly inspired by your witness of love to live that vision of love in all of our interactions. Help us to make time and space to build relationships and connections within our home. Help us to be generously affectionate, to serve each other, parents and children, and to lovingly lead each other to become who you are calling us to be. Help us to build the kinds of families that, even in struggle, turn to you, turn toward each other, and work together to find answers, so that in good times and bad times, we can witness to the power of your grace and love in our homes. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show, Parenting with Grace, taken from the title of our two most popular parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, now available on Audible. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Fact is, parenting is hard work. We want to help make it a little easier for you today. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question here from Kristen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota. She said, my husband and I both work full-time, and by the time we get home with the kids, everyone is fried. Dinner is rushed. Homework is a fight. Bedtime takes forever. We barely talk to each other, let alone pray together as a family. Our parish priest keeps saying that the family should be a domestic church. But I don't really know what that means, and I have no idea how to make it happen. I'd like to live the faith at home, but it's a struggle just to get everyone to church on time on a Sunday. How do I build a faith-filled family life when the day-to-day stuff already feels so overwhelming? That's Kristen in Minnesota.
God bless you, Kristen. Thank you so much for the question.
And I think we all feel your pain, especially these days.
Yeah, I want to start by saying that you're not alone in this. You know,
I think
that you've just described like 99.5% of all Catholic families. So let's start with what a domestic church is. So you're not alone in not understanding what it is. In fact, a couple of years ago, I asked our bishop if he could offer a kind of a clearer understanding of what it is. And he said, well, there isn't really a clear definition in the church. And in fact, if you look in the catechism, it says that the domestic church is a particular instance of ecclesial communion. Okay.
That helps so much when the kids are melting down and you're too tired to think.
So in 2019, we actually held a symposium at Notre Dame University that was looking at this question. What is a domestic church, and how can we help families become one in more practical ways? So a domestic church is a group of people living under the same roof who are committed to each other, who are united to each other and God through the sacraments of the church, right? So baptism, communion, all the rest, and committed to trying to live out the Christian vision of love in their relationships with each other in the world.
And for the people who just winced, who are not Christian, who are saying, yeah, well, that's great. I'm Catholic. My spouse is not, so that rules us out. Or the kids are pushing back against the faith. No, if there's any grace from any sacrament, even one person's been baptized, you're working with the grace there, so you can build on it.
That's right. So that sacramental grace is the foundation of your domestic church, and then your effort to do your best to live out the Christian vision of love, as opposed to our broken human vision of love in your relationships in the home and with other people. That's what makes you a domestic church. And as we function as a domestic church in the family, we experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes, and we also God uses us as a light to the world of what he can do with even messed up people like us, right?
Even busy, crazy people like all of us.
So, all right, so that's kind of a definition, but how do you do it? Well, this is something we actually teach on the Catholic Home app. It's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. And there are sort of 12 habits that we've found that families who kind of intuit how to do this have. But it starts with just number one, trying to prioritize some time for each other. I mean, really prioritizing your family relationships, because we can't create a sacred space in our home if we don't have time to be connected to each other and if we're super overscheduled.
And if you're saying, well, how do I do this week because we're already super overscheduled, that means you do simple things at first. Maybe you get a little bit of time first thing in the morning to all cuddle up in your bed right before everybody has to run and get ready for school. And you just take a couple minutes to pray and say, what can we do to help each other out today and make each other's lives better? Maybe you turn off the radio and take out the AirPods on the way home from school and work, and you just get some time to catch up on the day in the back seat of the car. So you're getting those moments of captured time intentionally. So you can draw a little bit closer. It's just your first tiny baby steps into living a domestic church life.
So I would say that the first thing, again, just to recap here, is creating some space to have relationship and stop and looking for ways to stop overscheduling and making space for family time first. The second thing I would suggest to you is look for ways to create rituals of connection around working, playing, talking, and praying together every day. Now you might think, well, I can't fit that into my busy family already. No. It's not about fitting more stuff in. It's about doing the stuff you already do differently. So chances are you already wash your dishes every day. Do them together as a family and continue the conversation you started at dinner. Or, you know, if you have to pick up the family room, don't wait till the kids to go to bed to do it. Do it together as a family. And you know, kind of create a ritual of getting ready for the evening where you all clean up the family room and then you all kind of go to your separate spaces to get your PJs on and you create this ritual where it kind of has a current running through the house that carries you all along. That a talking ritual, just create 5 minutes where you don't just ask, how was your day? Fine, what'd you do in school? Nothing. But you know, how did God show up for us today? Were there any answered prayers? What do we need to do to take better care of each other tomorrow or be a team? Like the questions that don't just naturally come up, ask those questions so that you can have some intentional conversations about how are you experiencing God and how can you do a better job taking care of each other as a family every day? That simple question starts to change the whole mindset from just a bunch of individuals living under the same roof to a team that has to take care of each other. Which leads to the third kind of practice I'd recommend is look for little ways to leave each other and whatever room you're in a little better than you found it. You know, if you kind of create this habit, okay, in the household where you start talking to your kids every day, hey, let's all think, what's one small thing we can do to make sure that we leave every room we find a little better than we found it? And leave each person we encounter a little bit better than we found them.
And you're not telling them, you're asking the question. And you're letting everybody give some input on overall and especially for that day.
So there are actually 12 habits that we teach in Catholic Home, but these three will get you started. If you're interested in going deeper, I'd really encourage you to either pick up Parenting Your Kids with Grace or Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, now on Audible, or become a subscriber to the Catholic HOM app and get the expert coaching you need every day, plus the tons of creative resources to help you build a more dynamic domestic church, even in the middle of all your busyness, because you're not the only family that's feeling that way, and there's a whole community of families just like you on Catholic Home, supporting each other, learning together, encouraging each other. It's great. I would encourage you to check it out. Thanks so much for the question, Kristen. If there's more we can do to support you, come on over to Catholic HOM or give us a call back here on More to Life. We'd love to walk with you. And we added your family to our More to Life prayer list as well. We have to go to break. When we come back, continuing to take your questions and calls on our show today titled Parenting with Grace. Fact is, parenting is hard work. Sometimes it can feel impossible. We want to give you the tools you need to be an even more confident, effective Catholic parent. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He'll be sharing some insights about how he experiences the liturgy of domestic church life in his family. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. When it comes to outdoor power equipment, you're never on your own. Since 1945, our customers and communities have trusted Weingartz for expert advice. That's why we stand behind John Deere Lawn and Garden Tractors, known for quality, durability, and equipment built to last. From equipment, parts, repairs, and at-home service, we're here every step of the way. Stop by our stores or visit us at Weingartz.com, where our experts can help you choose the right John Deere equipment for your lawn. Expert solutions, honest value, easy ownership. That's the Weingartz way.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Renero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, we are coming up on 40 days after the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, where we will see Christ's ascension into heaven and the ascension of Saints Cyril and Methodius as co-patrons of Europe.
Now on on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today our show is titled Parenting with Grace, as we talk about how to make parenting a little easier. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both, and congratulations to all of us parents. We are earning heaven. We are dispensing with purgatory right now as we live and breathe as parents. So great job, everybody.
Oh, well, there's that at least.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, we were talking in the last segment about the domestic church, this idea of the family as the domestic church. And I think that, you know, when we use that phrase as Catholics, I think a lot of parents kind of get this idea that family is supposed to be like a monastery. It's quiet and reflective and holy and just perfectly peaceful all the time. And you're here to dispel that rumor.
Yes, I need to smash that false idol. That is true. I think we do need to reset our thinking there. When we go to church, when we go to Mass, often it's quite dysregulated. There's screaming babies and dysregulated toddlers and distracted teenagers and distracted adults occasionally. So we don't want to think of our domestic church or actual church as a library with holy water fonts in it. Mm. You know, it's a place of life. So the main thing is the will to come and worship and at church and in our domestic church, our home, is that Christ is the center of our home. And so as parents, we are commandeering this vessel for the love of God, and we are directing it with love, not running too tight a ship that everybody's high strung, but we have a mission. As you beautifully said to both of you in your all the ministry that you do, we are captaining this vessel and leading it to that harbor, which is God's grace. So do what we can, but in the spirit of adventure, right, on the high seas. And sometimes I think our parents can all relate as they're listening, like, yeah, we're on the high seas, all right. It can be tumultuous at home, but we have a mission and we have an end game, and that's what it's all about.
And I think that, you know, remembering that there is a bigger mission is I think the key, you know, because even if we feel like we're falling short all the time, and that's okay if we feel that way, by the way. But even if we feel like we're falling short all the time, recognizing that there is a bigger mission that we're serving, that the family really is the school of love and virtue, kind of helps, I don't know, me, I'll just speak for myself, it helps me kind of come out of the place where I'm just managing tasks and checking stuff off a list and then collapsing into bed at the end of the day. It gives me a greater sense of meaning and purpose.
I mean, I think there are a lot of parents who just heard for the first time today that there should be a bigger mission than surviving the day without, you know, killing anybody, basically.
Right.
And yet, when we realize there's that bigger mission, I also want to encourage parents to not keep it all to themselves. Like, share what that mission is. Develop that mission as a family so everybody can be working together. You know, to use your boat analogy, let's go old school and go back to, the great sailing ships. If your sailors don't know how to lower and raise the different sails at the right time and the way to work that ship so that it doesn't get scuttled, it's going to be a problem. So you need everybody really talking about what is our mission.
That's
how
true.
Can we do this together? How can we love God and each other?
And to keep that analogy, too, this mission is filled with beauty, right? The adventure of the high seas and the wonders that surround us. I think that as parents, we should bring into our domestic churches also that aspect of beauty. I mean, Rebecca and I, we, not to make it too monastic, as you said, Greg, but we have beautiful holy art and sacred art. We have, Sunday mornings I light incense on the back deck as I'm doing my prayers. The kids know that Dad and Mom are doing their devotions. We do it with a spirit of joy and peace. And whether or not the kids are all in and participating in the full rosary or saying a Divine Mercy Chaplet with us, they're getting that fragrance that that we love God and that we're doing our best to bring the love of God into our home by bringing beauty and kind of domestic liturgies into the rhythm of our home.
Yeah, it's so funny that you're saying that, Bill, because it goes right back to my point of, like, get everybody on the same page, actually talk about it. I'll never forget one year as my kids started to get, you know, really aware, and during Holy Week, we had covered every holy thing in the house in purple cloth, as we do in church. We decided to bring it into the domestic church, and all the kids were like, I had no idea we had so many, like, holy things in the house and statues and artwork, because it just becomes part of who they are. But it is important to kind of point it out sometimes. This is why Mom and Dad are doing this. This brings us closer to God. Would you like to join us in this? Talking about how we can love God and each other better in our house so that it's not just being absorbed and we hope and pray that it sticks, right? And hopefully it will with all that going on. But that it can be active. They can be an active part of that crew.
Bill, thanks for being with us today. If folks would like to learn more about the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they turn for more information?
Yes, we would love to have you come out and get reset and recharged in this beautiful vision. It's tobinstitute.org.
tobinstitute.org. Bill, thanks again for being with us. And we're taking your calls right now, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Parenting with Grace. And, you know, as Bill was talking about little ways to bring the faith into the home, I just want to highlight the importance of praying together as a family and asking God in that prayer to teach you how to be the family that He wants you to be. You know, the whole point of being a Christian family is living differently somehow. And I can't tell you what that looks like for you, but God can, right? He has a plan for your family. And if you guys come together every day and say, Lord, you know, teach us to be the family You want us to be. Help us to take care of each other like You want us to take care of each other and really be the team You're calling us to be. When you pray that every day, I promise you, you're going to start seeing differences. All right, give us a call at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Parenting with Grace. Parenting is hard work. We're here to help make it a little easier when More to Life continues right after the break.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, Martha Harris. Thank you so much for your donation to help build the church and bless the nations.
Now you can support Ave Maria Radio by becoming a day sponsor too. Send anyone a message, a friend, a family member, or a priest, just someone close by. Call 877-288-1077 and tell them you want to be a day sponsor.
This year, Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th. Let the family and staff of Viviano Flower Shop help you select a delightful gift of love and gratitude for all the moms in your life. Nothing says I love you more eloquently than a beautiful gift of farm fresh flowers artfully arranged. Ordering is easy. Phone us at 1-800-VIVIANO or shop online at viviano.com. Viviano's also offers professional delivery services for Mother's Day and for all of life's celebrations. Remember, Viviano Flower Shop.
Be part of a night that shapes the future. Join the Archbishop's Gala 2026, Thursday, June 4th at St. John's Resort in Plymouth. Enjoy an elegant evening of fine dining, inspiring stories, and live music from the Seminary and Choir. Your charity supports Sacred Heart Major Seminary in forming future priests, deacons, and leaders. Reserve your seat today. And even if you can't attend, you can make a donation at the Archbishop's Gala website or call 313-596-7400.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, you know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority, but for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth, and generosity. Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home. When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Parenting with Grace. A show, of course, taken from the titles of our two most popular parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Now available on Audible. Check it out. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Is something making it hard for you to be the parent that you want to be? You know, maybe you're feeling frustrated about your kids' behavior, and there's just a thing they're doing that you just really trying to get a hold on, but they are resisting your best efforts to get a hold on it. Maybe you and your spouse are on different pages about discipline. Maybe you just wish your family felt closer and you're not quite sure what to do. Or you'd like to find ways to live your faith more meaningfully at home, but you're getting some pushback. Or you're just confused about where to start.
Or maybe you're dealing with some adjustments in your home. I know that many of us, us included, and many dear friends, well, their kids finished the college year this past weekend, or will very soon, and they're coming home. All their stuff, all their changes, all the shift in the whole family dynamic. And a lot of us are going, how do we do this successfully? We want this to be a great thing. We know time is limited here. What can we do? No matter what age or stage your children are at, and that includes your grandparenting stage, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 78-25.
Well, you know, you mentioned kids coming home from school. That we're in that very same situation. Our daughter came home from college last
night. Yeah,
and it's wonderful. You know, we're thrilled to have her home, but it does change the dynamic in the household, right? And I think that knowing that, though, you know, gave Lisa and I an opportunity to kind of talk ahead of time and say, all right, so, you know, when she's coming home, what are some of the things that we need to keep in mind? You know, how do we stay connected with each other? How do we, you know, stay connected with her?
How do we respect who she is now when we, you know, it's been, you know, many, many, many weeks since we've last seen her? How do we get to know her again? There's a lot that shifts all the time in parenting because, you know, you can start with, hey, I think I've got this under control. The baby seems to finally be sleeping through most of the night. It'll be fine. And then 2 seconds later, they start running around your house and you're thinking, it's not fine. Yeah. How do I do this stage?
And so, we even spent some time, you know, ahead of her coming home just talking about, you know, what does she need and what do we need from her? And, you know, so that we could manage that reunion, you know, and let it go well. Because I think when you don't do that intentionally or you don't do that ahead of time, and I'm not just about this, but like stuff in general, if you know something's coming, you know, instead of just dreading it, you know, or instead of just worrying about it or just thinking, oh, gosh, how are we going to handle it? Have a conversation about it and really say, well, this thing's coming. What do you all think? How do we want to handle it well as a team? Just one tip throwing it out there. We are taking your calls, though, at 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk about those parenting challenges that you're facing on our show today titled Parenting with Grace.
Well, Teresa in Virginia has a question for us. She says, my 13-year-old daughter is a good kid, but she started pushing back on everything, faith included. Last month, she told me she doesn't want to go to Mass anymore because, quote, it's boring and none of my friends have to go, unquote. I didn't handle it well. I gave her a lecture about obligation, and she shut down completely. Now there's this wall between us, and I don't know how to take it back. Part of me wants to just make her go because I'm the parent. But another part of me knows that forcing her could backfire and push her away from the church for good. How do I keep my daughter connected to the faith without destroying our relationship in the process? And that is Teresa in Virginia.
Hi, Teresa. Great question. Thank you. And you know, again, you're not the only one who's in this place. And in fact, you know, a lot of teens push back. And it's not a bad thing. This is actually a good
step. It feels terrifying.
Yeah, but it's a good step in faith development, because what's happening in adolescence is that kids are learning how to just stop doing what we tell them to do and start owning their faith for themselves. And what your daughter's really saying is, I'm not sure how this faith that you've been trying to teach me relates to my life now.
Especially when she's dealing with a lot of friends who are either of different faiths or secular completely. Because one of the things that she said here is that her daughter said, none of my friends have to go.
I also want to ask, you know, how has the faith brought you guys together in the past? And if it hasn't, how could it bring you together moving forward? Now, and when I say that, I don't mean, okay, well, we just all go to church together. But you know, when you go to church, do you go to breakfast afterward? Right, and really kind of talk about,
and not just to shove food in your faces, but to get time together,
and to talk about, you know, what happened at Mass, and maybe a little bit about what God's doing in your lives that week. And you know, if you haven't started doing that, you can start now. We actually talk about how to do this in our book, Discovering God Together: A Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. You know, when do you guys pray at home? And when you pray, do you make sure that you're asking God to help you be the family that he's calling you to be, and then have a conversation specifically about what that means, right? Not just saying those words at God, but really using the grace you get from that prayer time to talk about how you could do a better job taking care of each other that day or the rest of the day.
And do you pray about each other's concerns? Pray for each other, including her concerns. You know, Lord, our daughter's really struggling right now with the idea of going to Mass because it's really boring for her at our particular parish. She's really struggling being different from her friends in this, and they're all doing other things that she'd like to do. But we know how important it is to have a relationship with you. How can we make this something that can really connect us all to you and to each other?
When a kid says that Mass is boring, you know, we tend to think superficially, well, you know, it's not a TV show, or it's not a game. So on that level, it's going to feel more boring. That's not really what she's saying, though. You know, when anybody says that prayer is boring or Mass is boring, what they're really saying is, I don't really feel connected to God here. Right? Like, I don't have that relationship with God. I don't know how to relate to him in this space, or at all. Right? So another question I would have for you is, you know, are you helping her develop a personal prayer life? And how do you do that? Well, the best way to do that is if you're praying regularly as a family. Let's say you're having nighttime, bedtime prayer as a family. You get together, you know, we actually walk through a format, the praise format, where each letter in that is an acronym that stands for a different part of family prayer. And we talk about this in Parenting with Grace and Discovering God Together as well. But you go through those steps as a family, and as your kids get familiar with you guys praying together as a family that way, then you say, okay, you know what, before we do family prayer, everybody take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, you know, whatever your kids can handle. And use this same format yourself. Just kind of reflect on your own life using this PRAISE. P stands for praise and thanksgiving. R is repentance. A is asking for your needs. I is interceding for others. S, seeking his will. And E, end your prayer by expecting to listen until the next time you get together. So, again, we talk about this in Parenting with Grace.
Mm-hmm. Which is now on Audible.
And, you know, so you have them do that on their own because they've watched the family do this every night. So they know the drill, and they can go off and do it for themselves for 5 or 10 minutes. And then you come back together and say, so, you know, what'd you get out of family prayer? You know, or your personal prayer time? Let's talk about that. And then we pray about all that stuff as a family together. You collect everybody and you come together as a family to God. And these things really help her develop that personal relationship that makes all of this more meaningful to her instead of just sort of saying words at God. But I would say, you know, so these are all things you can do. But I think in the short term, what I'd like you to do is just get some one-on-one time with her. and ask, and you know, go out, get a piece of pie or something.
Something she likes.
You know, yeah, something she likes. And just say, hey, you know, I'd just like to understand kind of where you're at. You know, there's a lot of stuff about faith I've tried to give to you, and you know it's important to me. And I know that you're in a place right now where you're having a hard time. And that's okay. It's going to kill you to say it, but I want you to say that. And it's okay.
I just
want to understand kind of where you're at with God. Like, do you feel God's presence in your life? Do you think he's relevant? Are there certain things that have gone on in your life or your friend's life where you feel like maybe God's not showing up for you?
And you hear how Greg's asking the questions. It's not what's wrong? Why don't you like God anymore? What's wrong with the church? You're not being defensive and you're not putting her on the defensive. You're really asking what's going on with her with a heart toward listening.
The word, you want to be curious, genuinely curious about where she's at and why she feels what she feels. Not in a condemning way, but in a curious way. Because you want to open up those conversations and let her know that it's okay to struggle with doubts. It's okay to wrestle with faith. In fact, it's good. And this is a stage of faith, right? So teen, when kids go from 10 to, say, 11 and up, there's a change in their stage of faith where, you know, 10 and younger tends to be about stories and structures. They like hearing the stories. They like kind of playing the roles of being the altar server or doing the things, right? They like to kind of do the grown-up things. It feels fun for them. But whenever they hit adolescence, they start thinking, well, how is my faith supposed to help me find a place in the world or have relationships? And a lot of times, as Catholic parents, we fail on that front because we're just all about the rules. Don't do this. Don't hang out with this person. God doesn't want you to do this. The church says don't do that. And so, you know, the very thing that they're saying they need in order to hold on to their faith, which is to understand how their faith informs their relationships, is the one thing we're taking away from them, which makes them feel like faith isn't relevant for them anymore. And so by really just stepping back and being curious about what's going on in her life and, you know, how does she think about God and, you know, those questions that I asked. In fact, if you want, download the podcast later and you can listen to this again so you have a sense of where to go with it. It'll start the conversation that opens her up a little bit and lets her realize it's safe to ask you these questions. It's safe to discuss this stuff. As far as making her go, yes, you do want to insist that she goes to church with you. But that's not the answer, okay? The reason I say that is if she had a problem with her grandma or with you, you wouldn't just let her hide out in her room and never see that person again, right? You'd say, well, we need to be around each other and work stuff out.
You need to be around each other and work out the relationship, right?
But just being around each other without working out the relationship wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work.
Right? It's yes.
In fact, it can make it worse. You get angry at each other. You're stonewalling each other. We can do the same thing with God.
So yes, you make her go to church, but then you talk about it. Like, you seemed grumpy at church. What was going through your head? Talk, and be curious, right? It's not, shame on you for being grumpy at church. It's, you know, you seemed like, when Father said this in the homily, I saw you make a face. Can you help me understand kind of what you were thinking then? Or, you know, when during the consecration, you know, we were all, like, trying to pay attention, and you looked really tuned out. Can you tell me what was going through your head then? You know, really be curious and want to know where she's at with this. So you're making her go to church, but it's not about making her go to church. It's about putting her in the place where you guys can then work on the relationship between God and the church.
You know, I'm going to give a really out there analogy to this. There is a scene in the newest version of Little Women, the one with Saoirse Ronan in it, and Laura Dern. And there's a scene where Joe, played by Saoirse Ronan, is talking to Marmee, played by Laura Dern. And she's just gone through a horrible situation with her sister. And she says to her mother, I feel so terrible. I'm angry all the time. I don't know how to stop being angry. And Marmee says to her, I've been angry every day of my life. And her daughter's shocked because Marmee's always so patient and so loving and so, you know, building up of everyone around her. And they're able to have a conversation about the fact that everybody struggles, including moms, including that this is okay. It's the struggle that matters, not the perfection of the virtue. It's not like you don't matter until the virtue is perfected. And it's very much that kind of thing where you're not just going to tell her every single time you've ever struggled with God, but there's not a human on the planet that hasn't had a moment of struggling with God. So being curious and being able to say, that's okay, I've gone through times like that too. Keep talking to God about your anger. Keep talking to God about your frustration. Keep talking to God about your doubts. I'm here for you if you need to talk these things through. We're going to try to walk through this together. We're going to keep seeking Him together. That will open up a whole different level of relationship between the two of you, and also let her know you respect her enough to walk alongside of her in this journey, just as Christ respects all of us so much that He walks along with us in our journey.
So making this happen is going to require some changes on a lot of different fronts, and it's going to require a consistent effort, okay? So you're going to need more support than what we're able to give you right now, but this will get you started. So download the podcast so you can listen to this several times and maybe even share it with your husband, you know, and then I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. And I'd also really encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home community, because you can get the expert coaching that you need there. Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors are on the app, plus a whole community of folks who are going through the kinds of things you're dealing with. And really, we support each other in living this out. Plus, you get tons of great resources to make living the faith at home more meaningful. Check it out, the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. But thank you so much, Teresa, for your question. We hope that these suggestions will get you started. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Parenting with Grace, taken from our two most popular parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, now available on Audible. But we are talking with you about making parenting easier at 877-573-7825. More with your questions when More to Life continues after the break.
I'm Jack Krasula. Please join us Tuesday, May 6th, 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort for the Rosary, followed by a speech by Immaculiela Begiza entitled My Story of Faith, Hope, and Forgiveness. In 1994, Immaculiela forgave the man who killed her entire family. No registration is required. For more information, please email jack.krasula, K-R-A-S-U-L-A, at trustinus.com. Thank you. God bless.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House. Our luxurious celebrity cruise liner awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Parenting with Grace, the show, of course, taken from the titles of our two most popular parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, now available on Audible. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 as we talk about making parenting easier.
I have a question here that came in from Carla, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network. She's working, so she sent it in. She said, I'm a single mom with two boys, ages 8 and 10. I do my best, but I constantly feel like I'm not enough. Their dad and I divorced 3 years ago, and the boys go back and forth between houses. Every time they come back from his place, It takes 2 days to get them settled again because the rules are completely different there. I try to be consistent, but I feel like I'm fighting an uphill battle. I feel like nobody really gets what it's like to parent alone and wonder every day if you're messing your kids up. What can I actually do to give my boys stability when their world keeps shifting? And that's Carla in Texas. Such a good question.
It's a great question, Carla, and you're certainly not alone in this. There are lots of single parents and divorced parents out there who are dealing with the same kind of thing. And so there are some good things, actually, that you can do here. I'm gonna actually suggest, I think, three things here at the top of my head right now. Number one, all right, I want you to create what I would call a wraparound ritual, right? So before the kids go to dad's, you're going to spend a little bit of time just kind of talking about what it's going to be like there and what it's going to be like when they come back home. You know, what are the things that they like about going to dad's house? What do they like about coming back home to your house? And just you know, in general, just sort of talk about that. Then when they come back home to your home, find out a little bit about what happened, you know, not but tell me what dad did, you know, but like, I mean, you know, the temper.
Well, I think I want to jump in because I want to emphasize something that you're saying here, because I don't think when you said create a wraparound ritual before they go that a lot of our listeners thought about what do you like at dad's house. They thought, okay, these are remember your rules, remember your behavior. No, you're saying this is a very positive thing. You're being very loving. You're giving them permission to enjoy both parents in both homes. Permission to talk about what's good, because often kids can feel like they're not allowed, that they could be hurting you if they talk about something good with the other parent or the other house. So what you're saying is really giving them that space to be positive and enjoy both situations.
Well, yeah, research shows that one of the hardest things for kids to navigate is the feeling that they can't talk about one parent with the other parent. And so by being the parent that makes it safe to talk about stuff, you know, to talk about what goes on at dad's house, to talk about, then that's really helping to build a bond there that lets them know that they can be themselves around you. But when they come back home, instead of just like jumping right into the day, you know, sit down, you know, to create a reunion ritual, all right, where you all sit down together and just talk about, you know, what kind of fun things did they do with that? What was their experience like? What was, you know, you try to keep it positive, but don't force it. And just whatever their experience was, it's fine. And then you actually have the intentional conversation where you say, okay, you guys are back home. It's going to, you know, and it's a little weird to move back and forth between places. Let's go over what our expectations are here. You know, what are the rules in our house? How do we take, and what is one thing that we can each do to try to take care of each other while we're getting used to each other again? Just make that overt, right? What's one thing that we can do for the rest of the day to take care of each other while we get used to hanging out with each other again? And the next morning, you know, you do it again. Okay, guys, what's one thing that we can do to try to be a good team today and take good care of each other? Make that part of your morning prayer time. If you don't have one, start it. You know, you get up in the morning. If you have to get up 5 minutes earlier, fine. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Just, you know, Lord, we give you the day and you bring whatever concerns you have. And please bless my kids and help me be the mom they need me to be. Help us to be the team you want us to be. And then have a brief conversation. What's one small thing that each of us can do to try to build a better team and take better care of each other today? And you have that conversation every day, right? So you're building those rituals in there that enable you to manage the transitions more effectively, but also be a stronger team. The point in all of this is that when kids are moving back, and this is true for every family, you know, a lot of families are just collections of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. Even more so for families of divorce, and if you can be intentional about managing that and help the kids understand that, oh, wait, you know, when we're with mom, this is the team we are. You know, this is team mom. Now, dad can do the same thing. It could be team dad, and there's different rules in playing the dad game, and there's different rules playing the mom game. But there's team mom, there's team dad, right?
And they're not fighting each other.
No, it's just when they're on team mom, these are the things they're doing, and this is how we take care of each other, and these are the expectations, and you're making it clear. And you're making it cooperative, right? So it's a project that you're building together. And by doing that, that's really going to help you feel less like you're the lone lion tamer,
yeah.
You know, in a cage that's constantly feeling like you're going to get at.
Yeah.
and enable you to really manage this together. So I'm going to also suggest to you, Carla, that being part of the Catholic Home app is going to be really important for you. Again, you know, this is not for the Catholic Home app isn't for perfect families. It's right. For families that want to experience God's love a little more perfectly. And so you can get the expert coaching that you need, tons of great resources to make living the faith at home more fun and accessible. I really encourage you to check it out. Catholic HOM, download it today. But I hope that these suggestions will get you started. If you need more support, check out Catholic Home or call us back here on More to Life. That's all the time we've got for today's program, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is really so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed, blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.